Hello and welcome to the Friday, December 5th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Mark Baggett, our Python master, did write up another diary, and with that a new Python module that he's going over, lmpacket. Lmpacket allows you to easily script SMB with Python, and as he demonstrates, you can now get, for example, user account lists or process lists pretty easily remotely using Python. So now you can then parse the responses and, for example, look for indicators of compromise or just baseline systems with a simple script that, as he put it, only takes 4 lines of Python code. And yesterday I mentioned that Apple did publish an update for Safari, but you may not have seen that update yet, in particular if you're running Safari 8. Turns out that the update that Apple published for Safari 8 was faulty. Actually, apparently it did cause a number of problems to users that now essentially can no longer use Safari. And for those users, Apple's recommendation is to install the operating system from scratch. This is yet another black eye for Apple when it comes to patching. Remember the famous iOS 8.01. Kind of odd how it was iOS 8.01 and now Safari 8.01 that caused these problems. But apparently the Safari update was live for a much shorter time. And mobile security company Lookout analyzed a couple of the low-end Android phones, including some counterfeit Samsung GS4 Note 2 devices, and found new malware on them. They came pre-installed with something that Lookout calls Deathring. Pretty interesting sort of SMS malware in the sense that it actually spoofs or fakes SMS messages that can then be used in social engineering or phishing attacks. It can also insert prompts into browser sessions to trick the user to install additional malware. What's also interesting is the trigger mechanism. This malware will not start by default, but only on the fifth reboot of the device, or if the victim has been away and present for 5 times on the device. Maybe that's used in order to bypass some of the initial checks a manufacturer may do on firmware before it's being installed. There is no real great way to uninstall this particular malware because it comes as part of the system. So short of rooting the system or reinstalling Android from scratch, there isn't really much you can do here as an end user. It's a little bit different from earlier alerts about cheap Android devices that mostly evolved around outdated Android versions that were known to be vulnerable. And researchers at IBM found an interesting vulnerability in social login systems. These social login systems you probably have seen on various websites allow you to log in using a social networking site like LinkedIn or Facebook as your identity provider. The way they usually work is that you first go to the site that you intend to log in, then you click on a login with LinkedIn button or something like this. You then log into your LinkedIn account and then are being directed back to the original website, which will then set up your account. The problem here is that typically the email address is being used to link these two accounts together, and the email address is typically public information. In particular, in the case of LinkedIn, it was possible to set up an account and not verify the email address. In this case, the email address was labeled as not verified, but it was still usable for social login, and the email address was then communicated to the original site as valid. With this, it was possible on some websites to take over accounts of users if you knew that user's email address. Interesting vulnerability, it has been fixed in the cases pointed out in the article. LinkedIn, for example, no longer allows you to use the LinkedIn account unless the email address has been verified. The user, or the victim in this case, would still receive one of those email verification emails, but then again, you may ignore them as spam if you didn't expect them. And then finally, a little bit of a weekend reading. RecordedFuture.com did an interesting study where they updated how long it takes between a patch release and an exploit being released and used in the wild. Apparently, that time is now 1 week. I think actually it has been around that time for quite a while now on average. This is, of course, an average, and we have seen often where vulnerabilities are more or less immediately being exploited, or sometimes, well, I don't think there has really been a real great public vulnerability for S-Channel yet. So that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.